welcome to episode 34 of BuzzHub's Front Seat Cinema, the weekly film and TV podcast, where I bring you the latest film and TV news, the latest film and TV reviews, and the latest box office results. This weekend was all about Comic-Con, and we over at BuzzHub had a huge Comic-Con, huge Comic-Con coverage. We changed the entire look of the website for a few days to make it easier to access all the breaking Comic-Con news and easier for us to post it. It's back to normal now. Well, it's not. I'll speak about this in a minute, how we look nicer now. But it's back to closer to the way it was last week now, and back to our normal theme. But we had a nice special laid-back or a kind of stripped-down Comic-Con theme going on. So Comic-Con spouted loads of huge headlines. Well, not as many as expected, as I will discuss in a minute. Both Warner Brothers and Marvel Studios both kind of dropped the ball with the hype for their respective panels. Neither of them made any major announcements. It was disappointing, it was underwhelming, but there were still a few interesting things to come out of those panels, and there was lots of interesting things to come out of other panels. So I'm going to go through all the news since our last episode. So, we'll start before Comic-Con. So this is news that happened before Comic-Con started. So Fargo Season 2, this is the second season of FX's hit miniseries Fargo, which I absolutely loved. The first series starred Martin Freeman and Billy Bob Thornton, it was brilliant. The second series was confirmed by FX, and it is going to focus on a younger Lou Salverson. Now, Lou Salverson was the character played by Keith Carradine in the first season, and he's the father of Deputy Molly Salverson, who's one of the main characters. He was her father. And there were a few mentions during the series. He mentioned some cases he'd been involved in as a police officer in the 1970s. And that is what Fargo Season 2 is going to focus on. It's going to be set in 1972, and it's going to feature a younger Lou Salverson, played not by Keith Carradine, obviously by a younger actor. But the creator of the show, Noah Wyle, I believe his name is, he has not ruled out the characters from the first season. Noah Hawley, sorry. He has not ruled out the characters from the first season returning in Season 3, Molly Salverson and Colin Hanks and Alison Tolman played those two characters. Anyway, so Cameron Crowe's next film, which stars Emma Stone and Bradley Cooper, we don't have a name for it. We do have one behind-the-scenes still of the two actors in a helicopter, but it's been in production for a while now, and it was supposed to come out in December, I believe, at Christmas, and it has now been pushed back to May 29th, 2015. So, yeah. Edgar Wright has lined up a few new projects. I'm going to skip that, actually. I might talk about that in a future episode, but Edgar Wright has lined up a few new projects. Will Ferrell and Adam McKay are going to reboot the NBC series Manimal for a film. Sorry. Steve Carell is going to star in a Disney film called Brooklyn Family Robinson. Anthony Hopkins and Evan Rachel Wood have joined HBO's Westworld. Pirates of the Caribbean: Dead Men Tell No Tales has been gotten a new release date of July 2017. So this film's been pushed back a ton of times. It was supposed to come out 2015, then it was supposed to come out 2016. They hired directors in the form of the two men who made Contiki, and they said it was coming out summer 2016, and then they gave the subtitle Dead Men Tell No Tales. This all happened last August, and then it just got indefinitely pushed back at one point, and now they have set it for July 7th, 2017. So we have a date, a new date. This was a pretty big story. The Amazing Spider-Man 3 was originally... So Amazing Spider-Man 2 came out in May, and The Amazing Spider-Man 3 was originally scheduled to come out, I believe, in June 2016. Well, now Sony... But then Sony announced this Sinister Six film that Drew Goddard is writing and directing, and now there's been a big shake-up where The Amazing Spider-Man 3 has actually been pushed back to 2018, and Sinister Six will come out in 2016, but not in June, it'll come out in November. November 11th, 2016, Sinister Six will come out, and then The Amazing Spider-Man 3 won't come out until 2018. Now, Andrew Garfield, I can't imagine Sony would put him on the bench for 4 whole years of not being in any Spider-Man films between 2014 and 2018. Maybe Spider-Man will feature in the Sinister Six film, we really don't know, but right now it's all quite confusing. Who knows what the Sinister Six film will focus on? Surely the villains need a hero to fight, I don't know. There was a first poster for The Hobbit, The Battle of the Five Armies. It was spectacular. This beautiful poster released at Comic-Con with Smaug the Dragon attacking Lake Town and Bard the Bowman, played by Luke Evans, standing on a bridge, ready to fire at him with his bow and arrow. It's beautiful. If you haven't seen it, I recommend you go to Buzzhub and have a look. The 24th James Bond film, which is coming out in, I believe, October or November next year. It's going to be shooting in Rome. Rome, beautiful city. So, yes, very good. Now we're on to Comic-Con. So there's a lot of posters. So we got Mad Max Fury Road teaser poster, Avengers Age of Ultron concept posters, Ant-Man concept, but a lot of posters, and there's really no point in me talking about them because, well, it's an audio podcast, but also you can easily find these posters online. So go to BuzzHub and just scroll down, you'll see all these posters. They're beautiful. So the Avengers Age of Ultron concept posters were one of the big news stories during Comic-Con. That is to say, Comic-Con didn't have a lot of big news stories for the first few days, so really one of the only things that we at BuzzHub at least had to report on were these concept posters. They're great. I really, really like them. We had concept posters. So the first day, they released one for Iron Man and one for Scarlet Witch, played by Elizabeth Olsen, in the middle of this kind of action scene. But then eventually they started to release two more every day, and people realized that they all fit together to form a big poster. So we got posters then for Iron Man, for Scarlet Witch, for Captain America, for Black Widow, for Thor, for Hulk, for Quicksilver, and Hawkeye. And they fit together, and it's a beautiful concept poster, and people who went to the Marvel booth at Comic-Con got it for free, and I'm very jealous. And the Ant-Man concept poster is quite nice as well. It features the big faces of Paul Rudd and Michael Douglas, and, well, Ant-Man wearing his mask. But Ant-Man will be played possibly by both actors at different points in the film. More posters, more posters. Parker Posey and Jamie Blackley have joined Woody Allen's next film. This is his next film, because the film that stars Joaquin Phoenix and Emma Stone, which will be coming out next year, I believe, because his new film, Magic in the Moonlight, starring Colin Firth and Emma Stone, is out right now in selected cinemas, I believe. More posters. There was a new image of Ben Affleck's Batman revealed on Thursday, a close-up. Star Wars Episode 7 is going to be shooting on Skellig Michael, an Irish island, which is about a 4.5 hour drive from BuzzHub HQ. It's not particularly close to where we are in Ireland, but it's a beautiful island. I've seen it, and they're going to be shooting there. And there's rumors that they're going to be shooting there because Luke Skywalker is going to have a kind of Jedi academy that he's teaching youngsters in out there. Anyway, it's very interesting. I don't know if it'll be second unit or if J.J. Abrams himself will be coming, but I'd very much like to go along and meet J.J. Abrams. I doubt that will happen. I'd say it'll all be very closed off. But, you know, it's nice to see people coming to Ireland to shoot films because it is a beautiful country. SpongeBob movie, Sponge Out of Water, revealed the first still, and it is absolutely horrible. I must say, I'm a lifelong fan of, well, SpongeBob started in 1999, but let's just say I'm a lifelong fan of SpongeBob SquarePants. I think SpongeBob SquarePants, one of the most inventive and brilliant and hilarious children's programs of the century. And the first SpongeBob SquarePants movie, I love it. I think it's brilliant. And the new one, SpongeBob movie Sponge Out of Water, from the one poster and one still we've gotten, looks absolutely disgracefully bad. The characters are all bulked up to look like superheroes when they come to the real world, and Antonio Banderas is this. Look at the still if you want, but it'll depress you if you're a SpongeBob fan. Go to BuzzHub, go SpongeBob movie. But yeah, it's just this film's out in February 2015. I will go see it. Hopefully, maybe the marketing will show off some of its better sides. Maybe we'll get a good trailer soon. I don't know. So that was part of the Paramount panel, and this was the first major panel, the first big panel at Comic-Con. There were three big panels on Thursday. There was Sony, there was DreamWorks, and there was Paramount. Now, Sony, their panel focused largely on the Goosebumps film, which is directed by Rob Letterman and stars Jack Black. I have never been a fan of the Goosebumps book, so this film doesn't particularly interest me, but I do like the way they advertised it at Comic-Con. They had posters with this kind of creepy ventriloquist puppet, which I'm not familiar with this particular puppet from the Goosebumps series, but I like the way he's being used in the film's marketing. And Jack Black turned up and he was doing the rounds, talking to everybody. He was being chased by monsters around the stage in Hall H. Very entertaining, and I like Jack Black, and I like the way he goes about promoting films, he seems very passionate about every film he makes, and that is good. I respect that. But Goosebumps doesn't really interest me. But anyway, so Sony talked about Goosebumps, and they also talked about Pixels, which is this film with Adam Sandler, Peter Dinklage, Josh Gad, Michelle Monaghan. I talked about it on the last episode, I believe. Video game characters come to the real world. But anyway, they didn't have any footage from that, but Chris Columbus sent in a video message apologizing for not having any video footage from that. And they premiered a teaser poster. That was Sony. Then DreamWorks panel happened. That was based around the Penguins of Madagascar, and Benedict Cumberbatch was there, and John Malkovich was there, and they had some fun at the panel, but otherwise it was pretty underwhelming. Also, Jim Parsons turned up to talk about Home. But then, in the evening, well, in the evening my time, we had the Paramount panel, and who turned up at the Paramount panel? None other than Matthew McConaughey and Christopher Nolan. Yes, Christopher Nolan, the greatest film director of all time. Not really, but Christopher Nolan, he's a wonderful, wonderful filmmaker. We all love him. He's beloved by all at Comic-Con. He made his first ever Comic-Con appearance to promote Interstellar at the Paramount panel. A big surprise. Matthew McConaughey comes out at the end. He talks for about 3 minutes, and then he goes, "Oh, someone else for you to meet, Christopher Nolan." So everyone was really delighted, and they didn't really do much. I believe they showed a new trailer, which was not released online, but hopefully will be in cinemas and online very soon. It sounded very, very interesting. And they talked a bit, they just said the same stuff that we've heard before about Interstellar, but I am hugely excited for Interstellar. You will know if you've listened to this before, it is my most anticipated film of the year, if not of the decade. Well, I wouldn't say that. I'm definitely not more excited for it than I am for Star Wars Episode 7, I have to admit. Star Wars Episode 7 is just the benchmark of films I am excited for. It's just going to be amazing. But Interstellar could be a masterpiece. Well, actually, I mean, Inception is one of my 10 favorite films of all time, and this is a follow-up to Inception, and yeah, it just looks brilliant, brilliant. I love Matthew McConaughey, I love Christopher Nolan, and I was so happy to see them at Comic-Con. Then there was a little dip out of Comic-Con. This story wasn't Comic-Con related, but it was very, very interesting. And that was that The Expendables 3 leaked online weeks before its release. So the last time there was a leak of a film before its release this big, it was X-Men Origins Wolverine back in 2009 when there was a work print, an unfinished work print with unfinished CGI uploaded to the internet, and there was a lot of media about it. Well, this is apparently a DVD quality copy of The Expendables 3, which has been put up on Torrent and P2P sites, but the film's not out for a couple of weeks, so it's very unusual. We don't know where the leak has come from yet. I don't think Lionsgate, the distributor, have released a statement, but I'm very interested to hear what they're going to do, what action they're going to take, and this really does highlight the problems with internet piracy. So, but you can read about the full story about the leak on BuzzHub, and we were one of the few websites to actually report on this leak. Strange. I think it's because everyone else was actually in San Diego, and I was just sitting in the office here. But our story on it got a lot of traffic, and I think it's because barely anyone else reported the story. One of the big panels at Comic-Con I was excited about, and that I covered a lot on BuzzHub, although maybe it wasn't one of the most mainstream ones, was the Community panel. Community, my favorite show. NBC cancelled it. Yahoo Screen picked it up. Hashtag six seasons in a movie. Well, Joel McHale, Gillian Jacobs, Jim Rash, Dan Harmon, and Dino Stamatopoulos. They all turned up to promote the show and season six, and they talked about it, and it was a very fun panel. You can watch the video of it on BuzzHub right now. You can also watch the video of the Under the Dome panel, Under the Dome, which I watched all season one last summer, and I'm watching season two now, and I've got to tell you, the last two or three episodes are the best this show has ever been. It's not a great show. It is on CBS, mind you. It's network television, but the last two or three episodes have been very entertaining, and definitely the show is the best it's ever been. It stars Dean Norris from Breaking Bad, Rachelle Lefevre, and Mike Vogel, and I would recommend that you maybe watch Under the Dome. I wouldn't highly recommend it, but if you've got nothing else to watch, and if you've watched all of Community, and all of 30 Rock, and all of Parks and Recreation, or if you want to watch a network drama, well, watch Under the Dome. It's decent. I'll skip that. Werner Herzog, actually, yes, at the DreamWorks panel, they announced that Werner Herzog, the great film director, is going to actually lend his voice to the cast of The Penguins of Madagascar. Now, he, of course, appeared in Jack Reacher, that terrible Christopher McQuarrie Tom Cruise film. I hated it. It was really, really slow and boring and terribly acted, but Werner Herzog was okay in it, and he's going to be providing a voice in The Penguins of Madagascar. So we had this Doctor Strange story where, so for weeks, everyone's been talking about who will Marvel announce as Doctor Strange at their Comic-Con panel. And the big names floating around were Benedict Cumberbatch, Tom Hardy, Jared Leto. My bet was on Benedict Cumberbatch. I really was completely convinced until yesterday, that Benedict Cumberbatch would have been announced as Doctor Strange. He was at the convention already. He would be hanging around. It just looked as if Benedict Cumberbatch would be announced as Doctor Strange on Saturday night at the Marvel panel. Benedict Cumberbatch was not announced in the end, but I'll get to that in a moment. Yaquin Phoenix's name was tossed up to be reportedly in talks. But, yes, well, Yaquin... So I thought Cumberbatch was going to get the role. Then on Friday, people said, oh no, Yaquin Phoenix, he's in heavy talks. He could be announced. So in the end, spoiler alert, Marvel announced nobody. There was no mention of Doctor Strange. They didn't even mention the film. And they do have it does have a director and a release date. Well, it doesn't have a release date. It has a director in Scott Derrickson. But in the end, they announced nobody. So maybe Yaquin Phoenix just didn't sign up fast enough, and maybe he'll be announced in a few weeks. It looks, though, I feel as if Cumberbatch had gotten the role, he would definitely have been announced because he was at the convention. So it's clearly not Benedict Cumberbatch. I would like to be Yaquin Phoenix. I don't know why Yaquin Phoenix would want to be part of the Marvel Cinematic Universe. He's quite a highly respected actor, and I feel like this may be, however much I love the Marvel Cinematic Universe, it is very mainstream, and I think he might see it as being below him because he is... quite the thespian. But let's see. If Yaquin Phoenix signs up, I would be happy to see him in these films. Jonathan Pryce joined Game of Thrones Season 5 along with a few other actors. Another Game of Thrones cast news. Maisie Williams is in talks for the Last of Us movie. There was an actual panel at Comic-Con for the Last of Us movie. It was a surprise. Screen Gems had a panel. We didn't know what they were going to be discussing, and then they announced it was the Last of Us movie. Sam Raimi turned up. He was a special guest. They gave him an award. The whole convention gave him an award, I think. And the producers of the film said that Maisie Williams, they have talked to Maisie Williams about playing the lead character Ellie. I don't think that they would say that at a panel at Comic-Con unless she really was in heavy talks. So I'd say Maisie Williams probably will get that role. So that's interesting. Maisie Williams is very good on Game of Thrones. Chris Terrio, who wrote Argo and is currently writing Batman v Superman Dawn of Justice, he's going to be writing the Justice League movie, reportedly, although the lack of information about the this came out Saturday morning, and we thought that we would get a lot more information about the Justice League movie at the DC panel, but that didn't happen, at the Warner Bros. Panel, that didn't happen, so this could be complete nonsense for all we know. So now we're on to the Warner Brothers panel. So this is when the big day of Comic-Con news starts up. We had Warner Brothers, we had Legendary, we had Marvel. It was a big, big day. Give me a moment now. I'm just going to check something. This is terrible podcasting. Because Nikki Fink reported on the DC Cinematic Universe reveal a few weeks ago, and she said this was what they were going to announce at Comic-Con. But then that didn't happen, so I'm looking up Nikki Fink's website now to find out if she, admitted her fault or not. Yeah. Yes, she's claiming that they do have these plans, but that they just wimped out and decided not to announce them. So go to NikkiFink.com for all that, or maybe we'll have a story on BuzzUp soon. Sorry for that delay. Okay, so Warner Brothers panel. So the Warner Brothers panel begins. Zack Snyder enters the stage. Now, of course, in 2013, when Zack Snyder entered the stage at the Warner Brothers panel, it was at the very end, and it was to announce Batman versus Superman was in the works. Well, this year, Batman vs. Superman has already been shooting for several weeks and is fully cast and has got a release date, May 2016, and, so Zack Snyder enters the stage and he says, oh, thank you for coming, and welcome to the Warner Brothers panel, and I have a few friends I'd like you to meet, and who comes out on the stage but Ben Affleck and Henry Cavill, Batman and Superman. What a surprise. And then who else joins them? Well, Gal Gadot, and Gal Gadot is playing Wonder Woman in the film. In a slightly smaller role, but her role is going to be increased. for the Justice League film and for maybe her own solo film. Gal Gadot is, of course, this Israeli model turned actress who stars in the Fast and Furious films, and she's playing Wonder Woman. So the three of them come out on the stage, and they all stand there. They're not given microphones. They just stand there in silence, smiling a bit. Ben Affleck and Henry Cavill wearing a leather jacket and a white shirt, respectively, and Zack Snyder talks for a minute, and then they show a teaser for the film. They show a clip, and this clip has been leaked online. It's been leaked on YouTube. Somebody filmed it from across the room. It's a very, very, very far away and low-resolution leak, but I will play you the audio for it right now. Chris Hardwick reacting to it. He does all the big panels. But anyway, so, basically, the clip features, I'll describe for you briefly, Batman standing on a rooftop, Ben Affleck's Batman, he's wearing this kind of big, bulky armor suit. It's different to what we've seen in the photos. Then he turns on the bat signal, and he points it upwards, and then we see in the light of the bat signal, Superman flying above him, and Superman, his eyes go red, and then Batman looks up, and his eyes go white. And then it goes, Batman v Superman, Dawn of Justice. For a film that's been shooting for a while, it was a very short clip, but people seem to like it. Anyway, it's been leaked online, and you can watch it on BuzzHub for now. So go to BuzzHub and scroll down, and there's a big-ass picture of Zack Snyder and Henry Cavill and Gal Gadot and Ben Affleck, and click on that, and you can watch the clip. Two different versions of it from different angles, with different levels of quality, so you can check that out. So then Ben Affleck and Gal Gadot and Henry Cavill left, and the director and the three stars got their photo taken, and then they all went home. That was it. They didn't talk. And this is basically what Comic-Con is all about. Flying three big movie stars to San Diego for 3 minutes to stand on a stage without talking, get their photo taken, and go home. And yet the people who have actually driven and flown to come to Comic-Con to see these people are content. They're happy. Now, if I went to Comic-Con, if I went to San Diego all the way from where I am in Ireland, and this was one of the big two highlights, along with the Marvel panel, I would be bloody disappointed that they didn't even talk. Now, Marvel, as we will say in a minute, they have a far better idea of how to please fans, because when they bring big stars, they actually engage and talk. But I'll go back to that in a minute. So, that was the So then the Warner Bros., yes, Zack Snyder and the cast left, and then there was presentations for Jupiter Ascending, for Mad Max Fury Road, and for The Hobbit. And then there was a big hour-long Hobbit thing, and they showed a new teaser trailer, which isn't online, but sounds fantastic, and sounds a lot more similar in tone to the Lord of the Rings films than the previous two Hobbits have been. It sounds very eerie, and very dark, and very epic, and I love that, and that's what I love about the Peter Jackson Middle-Earth films. So I'm really excited for the Battle of the Five Armies. I'll check now if this has been leaked yet, actually, because I did expect it to be, but it doesn't seem to have been. One moment. No, it hasn't been leaked yet, unfortunately. So there was Hobbit, and then that was the end, and everyone expected at the end that Zack Snyder would come back out, and that they would announce that Dwayne Johnson has been cast as Shazam, which he'd been hinting all week. Dwayne Johnson, in promotion for Hercules, has all week been hinting that he would be announced as Shazam. And he tweeted a picture of Shazam and everything, and he was at the con on Friday, or on Thursday, so it made absolutely no sense for him to not be there. But anyway, he wasn't. No one was there. They didn't announce anything. And as you can see from Nikki Fink, she was just as surprised as everyone. So, Well, yeah. But so we thought, well, at least we still have the Marvel panel. At least Marvel won't let us down. And guess what? Marvel did let us down. I did an article yesterday, about 2 hours before the Marvel panel started, before I went to bed, because you see, the Marvel panel was on at 1:30 a.m. my time. I'm not going to stay up till 1:30 a.m. to live blind a panel. I don't think that's worth my while. So I just got up at 7 o'clock this morning and caught up with what I'd missed, which wasn't a lot. So I did an article called "BuzzHub's Marvel Studios Presentation Checklist." These are things that I assumed we would see during the panel. So I thought we'll see release dates being filled. We'll get an announcement of Captain America 3 subtitle, maybe Doctor Strange, maybe Thor 3, Guardians of the Galaxy 2, Black Panther, Avengers 3, a solo Hulk film. These things were all teased. None of that happened. N none. The only new release date that was confirmed was for Guardians of the Galaxy 2, which will open on July 28th, 2017, as was predicted. So that's something. That's the only news story that came out of this panel. The Avengers reunited, I said, would happen. It did happen. The Avengers were there, minus Scarlett Johansson, who wasn't there because, well, she's having a baby, and also Lucy, her new film's out this weekend. She wasn't there, but everyone else was there, and they had their fun. Robert Downey was there, and he was handing out roses. Josh Brolin turned up as a surprise for a few seconds. Josh Brolin, of course, playing Thanos. Nothing really said of that, it was just an appearance. Then I said they would announce Doctor Strange. Didn't happen. I said there'd be some Guardians of the Galaxy stuff. There sort of was. James Gunn and Chris Pratt came on over Skype to announce Guardians of the Galaxy 2 release date. And I said there'd be Ant-Man, and there was. Michael Douglas and Paul Rudd and Evangeline Lilly and, well, if I, yes, that was the other. So there were the two actual news stories to come out of this panel were that Guardians of the Galaxy 2 got a release date, and that Evangeline Lilly and Corey Stoll were both officially announced as part of the cast of Ant-Man. So that was good, but we already knew that Evangeline Lilly was in it, so that wasn't much of a surprise. And Corey Stoll only seems to be replacing Patrick Wilson, who pulled out last week. And that was really it from the Marvel panel, and that was it from Comic-Con. That was it. Oh yes, the other thing, sorry, the other thing I forgot to mention about the Batman vs. Superman. They didn't just show the clip, they also revealed the first image of Gal Gadot as Wonder Woman. Yes, and this is probably the biggest headline of the past 24 hours. So this is the first image of Gal Gadot as Wonder Woman. I quite like it. I think she looks pretty cool. She's got this metal top and sort of a skirt, and then she's got these thigh-high metal boots and a sword, and she seems to have room for a shield on her back, strapped to her back, but there isn't a shield visible in the photo. She's standing in this weird lava space. Anyway, you've probably seen it, but I think she looks okay. It's a pretty interesting route for them to go. She looks like kind of Xena the Warrior Princess, but it's a nice enough costume. It seems to fit with the universe they're building. And I am still mildly interested in this film, which is good from Warner Brothers' point of view. I think we've broken the record now for the longest ever episode of this podcast, so well done to me for rambling on. And we're not even done. So that's Comic-Con. Comic-Con happened. It was definitely less interesting than there was less big headlines than last year. But, you know, a lot of big stars turned up, and it was nice that all the big stars did turn up, and, well, I had fun covering it for a few days, and it's not technically over yet. It's only Sunday morning now. It's Sunday at 12 noon, my time exactly, and there are a few panels left today, but nothing huge. I think there's something for Constantine and a few other TV shows. Nothing big movie-wise. So that's kind of Comic-Con. So the other thing I wanted to do in this episode is review Boyhood. Now, I saw Boyhood yesterday, and I had really high expectations for this. It's getting rave reviews. I absolutely loved it. It was just a marvelous cinema experience. This film is 3 hours long. It's 1 minute shorter than Transformers: Age of Extinction. And believe me when I say that this was well, I don't even need to say it. It's Transformers: Boyhood. You know, this film is almost 3 hours long, and it felt to me a lot. It felt to me that it was about 20 minutes long. I was completely gripped the entire time. And for no reason. It's not intense, it's not dramatic, it's not action-packed. Really, apart from a few brief scenes of sort of domestic violence, there is no drama in it. It's just ordinary people doing ordinary things, and And it's wonderful. The acting is brilliant. It feels pure. It feels natural. It doesn't feel like a fictional film with actors. It seems like a documentary at times. I mean, the fact that it was shot by Richard Linklater over 12 years, with the actors growing naturally, does help that. But it's really, really natural and pure, and it's mesmerizing and it's beautiful to watch. And it's an incredible film, and I really couldn't recommend it more. I don't think there's a person on earth who won't find something to love in this film. It's just so relatable to so many characters who get into so many situations which everyone can relate to. And it's fantastic. It's a fantastic film. I couldn't recommend it highly enough. It's definitely, I would say, the best film I've seen all year. And it hasn't been a great year for films. I mean, my top five films of the year so far, updated list, I believe, includes Muppets Most Wanted, Grand Budapest Hotel, Edge of Tomorrow, Dawn of the Planet of the Apes, and I think the Lego Movie. I think that's my top five of the year. I'm not sure. I have a list on that I'm keeping track of. Boyhood, I think, is definitely the best film of the year. It's just beautiful, and I really, it is the definition of thought-provoking. It has just moved me, and it has made me think about my own life, and I'm sure it will with everyone else who watches it. And I really, really, really hope everyone goes to see it. And it's doing pretty well at the box office for its, for the kind of film it is, and I'm glad to see that. And speaking of box office, there's no box office this week. It is Sunday, but the box office isn't out yet, I don't think. Let me check if there's any box office out yet. I wanted to record this episode with all my Comic-Con reaction before the box office. I'll give you the Friday box office, if that's enough for you. So, based on Friday results, at least, the summer box office slump seems to be drawing to an end this weekend. Sci-fi action movie Lucy, starring Scarlett Johansson and Morgan Freeman, opened in first place with an exceptional $17.1 million haul. Meanwhile, Hercules outperformed modest expectations, though it will probably still fall short of $30 million this weekend. And Hercules stars Dwayne Johnson, directed by Brett Ratner. Lucy's 17.1 million opening debut is significantly higher than Angelina Jolie's Salt, which took in 12.5 million on opening day in July 2010. More impressive is the fact that Lucy opened nearly on par with action sequels Taken 2 and The Bourne Supremacy, both around 18.4 million. The Scarlett Johansson film did receive a poor C+ cinema score, which suggests word of mouth will be mixed. Still, it's guaranteed to earn at least $43 million this weekend. It could wind up near $47 million. Playing at 3,595 theaters, Hercules opened to an estimated $11.5 million on Friday. That's 0.05 million. That's roughly equal to the $10.6 million the last month's Edge of Tomorrow earned on opening day. It's a bit lower than The Rock's The Scorpion King. Dawn of the Planet of the Apes fell to third place in its third weekend. The Purge Anarchy was in fourth place. Planes, Fire and Rescue and Sex Tape were in fifth and sixth place. And the weekend projections here are, they projected Lucy, we get 46 million, Hercules 29, Apes 16, The Purge 10, and Planes 9 million. So that's the Friday box office and the projections for this weekend. And that is it for episode 34 of Front Seat Cinema. Thank you for listening. It's always a pleasure doing this. I just talked non-stop for 33 minutes. I'm going to go get a glass of water. You can visit buzzhub.info for all the latest film news, reviews, podcasts. You can get my review of Boyhood. You can download Revolutionary, my other podcast. Search for it on iTunes. Go to follow me at Revolutionary on Twitter and Instagram. And follow buzz_hub on Twitter. Our Instagram username at the moment is SDCC2014 because it was a non-stop Comic-Con Instagram. And we actually got about 200 Instagram followers in the space of 2 days, which is quite impressive. And I don't know if I'll bother changing the username back or not. Maybe we'll lose followers if we change it back. So for now, you can follow SDCC2014 on Instagram, but soon we might be back to buzz_hub, but probably not. So thank you for listening, and I'll be back next week with another episode, which will feature my review of Guardians of the Galaxy. Thank you, and goodbye.